Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And when the people saw them departing, many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them and came together unto him. And when Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, having not a shepherd, he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. They answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, How many loaves have ye? And go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. They did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. You would too if that happened to you. Look with me in verse 52, where we take our text. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Why? For their heart was hardened. They were sore amazed beyond measure and wondered, in verse 51. Why? For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Brother, can you ask the blessing on the sermon?
Lord, thank you for tonight, Lord, and thank you for everyone that has come here tonight. I ask, Lord Jesus, that even so, Lord, that you unharden our hearts and that you open up our hearts to listen to your word, Lord. The things that are happening in life, the cares of this world and everything that is, Lord, that you give us peace on it and to focus on you. Bless the pastor. Bless the message tonight. Pour your Holy Spirit over us, Lord. Seed your word in our hearts, Lord, and use it for your honor and glory. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Look with me again in verse 31. Verse 31. And he said unto them, Come ye apart yourselves into a desert place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, they had no leisure, not so as much to eat. So let's walk back through this in our mind's eye and kind of put ourselves in the situation of the disciples or the apostles there. So they're very busy. People are coming and going, and they don't have any time to think or to eat. Now, if you don't have time to eat, you're very busy. And I know they didn't have Uber Eats back then, but to grab something to eat while you're working. I can eat while I'm working. I mean, eating, I could eat while I was preaching. I mean, I've rarely been too busy to eat. But that's how busy they were going. They had no leisure. And he said, you need to come apart and rest. And there were people that were bringing them all these insurmountable problems. Hey, I am devil possessed. Oh, well, I can't help you. You need to go to Jesus. Listen, my daughter is sick. Well, you need to go to Jesus. I have leprosy. Well, you need to go to Jesus. And these problems, that these stories that they were hearing and over and over and over, you have 12 people directing traffic to the Lord Jesus Christ because their problems were greater than they bear. And after you do that over and over and over again, there comes a point where you get mentally, physically exhausted. And he said, you need to come apart and rest before you come apart. It's biblical to take time to rest. And that's what was happening. They were busy, and the Lord saw what was happening, and he said, you guys need a vacation. Listen, vacation gives you perspective. It helps you to view whatever you're doing from a different angle. It helps you to compartmentalize it. It helps you to see that it's a function, but there's a whole other world going on. You're not the only person on earth. And he helps him to come apart and take a vacation and meditate and let God work on their spirit. And they were going to eat on that vacation. They brought some loaves and fishes with them. I mean, isn't that what we do when we go on vacation, Brother Cruz? We eat. And we rest. And then we eat. And then we rest. Or at least that's what you do. I go fishing and I take my cereal with me. And I said, we don't have to eat. Let's just fish. But they were looking forward to this. They had 5 loaves and only 12 people, so they were about to get a half a loaf each. And I don't know how big these fishes were, but they got their tickets. And look at verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. You know, that's the best part of vacation, when you're leaving. And then you get exhausted on vacation, and you come back and you need a vacation from your vacation, right? And so they get on the boat, and they're going to a desert place. And look what happens in verse 33. And the people saw them departing. Uh-oh. And many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities and outwent them and came together unto him. If you're taking vacation, you need to go beyond people's reach. Go out of the country. Turn your phone off. Because people know where you're going. And they ran afoot thither and gathered unto him. In verse 34, when Jesus came out, he saw much people. Now I want you to think about this. They're going to go rest. I mean, there's nothing to do in the desert besides rest. Nothing. And they get there. They get off the boat. They get their 5 loaves and their 2 fishes. And they go. And all those people were right there in front of them. Now, can you imagine your vacation is ruined? Work came with you. What they were doing and what they needed a break from went ahead of them. You know what? The ministry sometimes God calls you to do is something you can't get away from, and it goes before you. It goes before you. I was with the kids, and we were fishing before we got on the plane and flew out. And so we went down to the store, and we got some worms, and I was going to take them to catch some catfish. And I come out of the store, and on the way out of the store, there's this lady sitting in a car weeping, just uncontrollably crying. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to get involved with that. That can open worms everywhere. You know there's a problem there. Why are you even going to go there? And the Lord was like, you need to go. I'm like, I'm going fishing now. But you see, the Lord, sometimes the things He calls you to do There were people on the plane that needed to be witnessed to. There's people there because God has a work. And I know you need rest, but that ministry is something that you can't get away from. And then what happens is their vacation in verse 34 turns into a church service. And they were tired. I mean, it was midnight. And the preacher was still going and they wanted to have choir practice. And then when we got to the Bahamas, we flew in, we got dressed, we went to church, and I was already tired. And then at midnight, they're still going, and they say, now that choir practice is over and church is over, we're going to have a meal. We want you to stay and eat a meal. Like, you guys have lost it. But that is what they were going through. They got tired of ministering and look what time it is. Verse 35, it says the time is far spent. It's far past. The time was far spent. They came unto him and said, the time is far past. Look, enough already. Send them away. Isn't that a nice way to say it? Jesus, can you please just send them? They came to Jesus and they said, the time is far spent. Send them away. Get rid of them. And then Jesus comes up with this great idea. Let's feed them. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you in their mindset. I'm trying to get you to understand the state of mind that they were in when this miracle took place. They were tired. They were hungry. 5,000 people just ate their lunch. The time was far spent, and now we're going to have dinner on the grounds, and guess who is serving? You 12 guys are serving. Now organize them. Make them sit down by 50s and by 100. What? And now serve them. And so they were doing all these things. And when that was finally over with, Jesus says, go in the ship and go to Bethsaida. And he went a mountain to play. And they got into this boat and they're rowing and toiling and the wind is contrary against them. And they're so frustrated and they're so tired that they're about to cry. And now there's this spirit walking to them on the water. Now not only are we in a storm and we're tired and we're hungry, but this lake is haunted. There's a ghost. It's a spirit. How could this get any worse? And it turned out to be Jesus. In verse 50 and 51, they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Why were they amazed? Well, Jesus did a miracle, and he walked on the water, and he calmed the storm, and he made everything peaceful and still, and they looked at the Lord and the miracle that he did, and they said, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? What power is in this man? What a mighty God we serve. But then he says something else. They were amazed beyond measure, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Amazed beyond measure. Why did the Lord put them in an even more dreadful position after dinner on the grounds? Why did he put them in a storm? Why did he scare them literally to where they accepted the fact and they thought, we are going to die? Why did he push them to that point? Have you ever been pushed to the point of breaking? Have you ever been pushed so far and for so long you're like, I can't take this? We've been there. Now why does God sometimes put us in those positions? Because our hearts harden and we don't consider the miracles that God's doing. So if you won't consider them, He'll put you in a position where you have to consider them. You have to consider them. Because of the miraculous power of God in your life. The provision of God in feeding the multitudes they didn't consider because their heart was hardened. Do you ever think that today's misery might be because we did not consider yesterday's miracle? You ever think about that? Why am I in this miserable position? Well, might it be because our heart's hardened? And so what does the Master do when our heart's hardened? When we can't see the miracles? He puts us in the position we can. He sends us to school. And His school is scary. And His school is to make His power. Look at what they did in verse 52. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. At who? At Jesus. That's what the Lord's trying to get you to do. And if you won't do it, when your heart is hardened, His presence in the storm is terrifying. It's not something of comfort. He's trying to teach you, but you think He's trying to terrify you. And then they were amazed that He calmed the storm. It's not wrong to be amazed at the calming of the storm, but we should also be amazed at the miracle of the loaves. That's the point. Their heart was closed to the miracle of the loaves. They didn't consider the miracle of the loaves. They didn't look at that with the same wonder and amazement as they did when He calmed the storm. Why don't we, you and me, consider the miracles around us that are taking place right now, that are taking place every day, that are taking place in your life and my life as I am speaking? From the time you woke up the morning, the fact that you woke up, and all the miracles that have taken place in your life throughout this day, you couldn't count them. But we don't consider them. Why? Because our hearts are hardened. Our hearts are hardened. So why don't we consider these miracles around us? Why does God have to put us in a storm to teach us and soften our hearts and have our life fall apart? Why does God have to do that? Because our hearts are hardened and we're not considering the miracles around us. Now, I have a theory, and I'll give it to you, of why they didn't consider the miracles. And I won't be long, hopefully, or you hope, we hope. Okay? But I think that the reason that they didn't consider the miracle, are you ready? Is the same reason we don't consider the miracles. So number one, they had the wrong spirit. They had the wrong spirit. They were helping and healing and preaching and contending for the faith, and they were doing the work of the ministry, but even in that, they got too busy to consider what miracle God was doing. They got too busy making people sit down. They got too busy serving. They got too busy cleaning up. Like Mary and Martha. Martha got too busy in the kitchen while Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, not being busy. And the Lord said she had chosen that good part, the thing that is needful. And when we get too busy, we have the wrong spirit. And she's in the kitchen, but she forgot the good part. And as a preacher, as a pastor, Brother Ashton and I have to fight it all the time, not letting the ministry that God has called me to do overtake the quiet time that I spend with the Lord. Some of you are too busy. That's why you're not considering the miracles. You have too many things going on. You have to keep up with Instagram. You have to keep up with Facebook. You have television shows that must be watched. And at the same time, you have a job and you have a family and you are too busy to sit still and consider the miracles that God is doing in your life. You're going to have to cut some things out. You're going to have to prioritize some things and make time for the Lord. I was on that island out there in the middle of the ocean that Columbus landed on, and I was talking to the preacher there. And he's a mighty man of prayer. And I asked him, I said, how do you have an effective and consistent prayer life throughout your ministry? And he said this, you have to plan. You have to set time aside. And you have to plan and set time aside. And if you don't plan, you will not pray. You know, they have a new software called You Book Me, and these companies use it. And if you need to talk to someone, you can go in there and you can click when they're available, when you want to talk to them, and you can click on that and it emails you. And now you have an appointment and they'll call you and talk to you. And it's a good software that people use. But, you know, if the Lord was going to go in and say, brother, sister, we need to spend some time in prayer, could he find any time on that schedule? Or is it all booked up? And it should be all left blank until he chooses the time that he wants, because he should get priority. He should get the first time. You know what the Lord is doing? If you're too busy, you won't notice the miracles around you. Take a breath. Do it. Breathe. It's good for you. Exhale. You know what that is? That is a miracle. That's 21.8% oxygen and 78.2% nitrogen. And you breathed it in. And you took the oxygen you needed out of the H2O and you expelled what you did not need, what you breathed earlier. And that oxygen was made, I guess, from a plant that ate the CO2 and spit out the oxygen. Isn't that a miracle? I mean, if you've ever been to a funeral home, you'll know that breath and the breath of life that God gave you is a miracle. And when is the last time you just looked at your breath and you breathed in and you breathed out and you considered the miracle? Or have you been too busy? My dad always used to say, son, you want to go, go, go. He said, you need to learn to sit still and know that I am God and meditate and think and just be still. You know, the Bible says that man, the Sabbath was not made for man. I mean, not man for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. Well, why did God make that day of rest for you? Because you didn't want you to be busy. You know, we just get too busy. We need to have the storm perspective in the stillness, not just in the storm. I went fishing, and when we got there, Michelle got jet lag and she got, you know, sick. And so I'm there and she's sleeping. I'm like, this is not how this is supposed to work. She fell asleep and she slept for 15 hours. And I only tried to wake her up like 7 times. Just didn't work out. And so I said, well, I'm going to go fishing by myself. So I went and trying to fish, and I'm not catching anything. I'm getting angry. I'm getting mad. So we go around the other side of the island. It's called Clifton, and it's dark, and the stars are shining. And I'm trying to catch fish, and I'm mad, and I'm throwing my lure. And God said, why do I have to bring you halfway around the world just to get you to be still? Why don't you stop fishing for a second and just look at what I've done? Just look at what I've done. And those waves were crashing. The stars were shining. And my flashlight showed the mist of the ocean spray and the cliff in the background, and it was just echoing. And I said, this is why you brought me here. To steal me, so I could consider the miracles that you're doing. Don't be too busy not to consider what God is doing in your life. They were annoyed. Time is far spent. Send them away. You know, when you're annoyed, God doesn't speak to you. He doesn't like talking to people with a bad attitude. You don't. He doesn't either. So if you're annoyed and frustrated, the Lord's like, yeah, I'll leave that alone for a while. Send them away. Are you serious? A big storm will come and it'll fix your broken spirit. It seems difficult, but you just have to allow the Lord to control your spirit and let the annoyed go on away and let Him consider. Come in and take over and consider His miracles. And why don't we do that? A hardened heart. How can we be annoyed when all these miracles are going on? Impatient. Have you considered the miracle of the loaves? Or is your heart hardened? Number two, they didn't consider the miracle of the loaves because it was not a dire situation. No one was dying. They were hungry, but they weren't dying. There was no one in triage, so they didn't consider it. It wasn't a dire situation. It wasn't an emergency. There were no bombs going off. No boat was about to sink. So you know what God did? He put them in trouble and He made them get in a place where the boat was about to sink. And He made them in an emergency situation so they would consider the miracle. Think about all the miracles around us that we don't consider. The protection that God gives us. I don't know if you're a germaphobe, but there's enough parasites and amoebas within 2 inches of you to kill you. I mean, I don't know what's in this carpet. Okay? But I just know you're not safe sitting where you're at. And the person next to you, they have a communicable disease. And they're about to give it to you. And there's nothing you can do about it. But God is somehow, you know what He does? He protects you. And think about the promises that we have that God has given us. All things work together for good. That's a miracle. Not everyone has those promises, but we do. Think about the provision that He's given you. You know, one of those loaves, of those 5 loaves, was just as much of a miracle as... Pastor, come up here. As the one of those loaves was just as much of a miracle as all of the loaves. You know that? Just one loaf was just as big of a miracle as the multiplication of loaves. The only difference was the time it took. The one loaf took a lot longer. And the other loaf, He just shortened it. But it was no less of a miracle. What did you eat today?
My mom made fried chicken and waffles.
Okay, and so what is in fried chicken?
Meat, pollo,
chicken,
and some oil. I think she used coconut oil to fry it in.
Okay, and was there anything on the outside of the chicken?
Salt.
Salt. Okay, so how many miracles have to take place for that piece of chicken to get on your plate?
Ooh, many. Birth of a chicken. The mineralization of the salt, mining of it, my mom just being amazing. That's a miracle.
And did you eat anything else today?
Yeah, she also made some waffles with the fried chicken.
What were they made out of?
Now, these were special waffles. They were gluten-free. So, that's a miracle right there. And And I don't even know how. I really don't. How you make something like waffles typically made out of wheat that are still gluten-free and don't give certain people extreme indigestion. But for those people, I think they would amen that that's a miracle.
And thank you. So I want you to think about all the things that you've eaten today from the time you woke up. And the miracles that had to take place just for that to get on your plate. And if you've ever planted a seed and watched it grow, every bite of lettuce you have is a miracle. Every bit of grain that the chicken ate was a miracle. You know, that miracle of the 5,000 loaves is around us all the time. God's provision. You know, in the last 40 years, the population of the world has increased by 40%. It went from around 4-something billion to over 7 billion, right? Or 5 billion over 7 billion of people. And you know what? When you have 2 billion more people, they're eating a lot more food, and they're drinking a lot more water, and they're taking up a lot more space. Would you agree with that? You know what has happened to the price of commodities or the price of food? Over the same period of 40 years, the population has increased by 31%, and the price of food has fallen by 32%. How does that happen? That is miraculous. It is today, it is easier and cheaper for people around the world to feed themselves than it has ever been. So the more the population has increased, the more the abundance of food has increased as well. It's like God's just multiplying it and multiplying it. And it doesn't make any sense, but it's a miracle of God, His provision. People don't see what God is doing. Why? Because the need is not urgent. It's not a dire situation. And almost done. Why else did they not see it? They were used to it. They were used to it. I mean, they were so used to seeing Jesus do miraculous things that they didn't even consider it. You know what they've seen the Lord do? Turn water into wine. You know what they saw Him do? They saw Him raise the dead. Jairus' daughter. They saw Him heal the sick and give sight to the blind and give hearing to the deaf and give health to the leper. They saw Him cast out devils. They just got used to the miraculous. It was just no big deal. You know, and if we're not careful, our heart can get hardened and we just get to the place that we're used to His miracles and there's no big deal. I mean, God, you know what He did? He created man for His glory. And when people walk in here, the fact that you're breathing and that you're walking and that you're here, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. Amen. His sense of humor, His personality, His smile.
That's right.
This is a miracle. Mm-hmm. God put Him and endowed Him with artistic abilities, teaching abilities. He gave Him a sense of wonder where He looks at the world around Him and He just sees God in creation.
Amen.
And what God created Him. God created you. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we get to where you watch people and they look at everyone and they look at Him in just such a judgmental way. Just a scowl on their face. Just walk through the airport and watch how people look at other people. Especially women. Look at her. Stupid shoes. And it just, you know? Why, heart is hardened. God created us and He created me and He created you for His glory. And it's a miraculous thing that He brought us here and He put us together in the body of Christ. and He saved our souls. And He gave us His Spirit and put His Spirit in us. And we're going to live forever in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just get used to it. Sometimes just consider it. Look at your spouse. Look at your children. Look at your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at the people that walk up and down the road and understand the miracle that God has done. And give Him praise. Give Him praise in the house. We're all part of that. You know, it's amazing that they were part of this miracle. They didn't even consider it. They were passing out bread that God was multiplying as they were passing it out. And they didn't even consider it. Do you not consider that you influence and you affect and you change the people around you by the things you say? We stand and we minister and we witness and we give out the Word of God, and it literally changes people's destinations. It changes their eternity. And we're all part of this here. We're all part of this change. There's the young lady here, Alexis, that got saved and baptized, and she's here, and the destination's changed and the eternity's changed. And there was a family that was part of that. There was a church that was a part of that. There were individuals that was a part of that. What a miraculous thing. Don't just get used to it. Thank the Lord for it. Why didn't they consider it? It was what He did for someone else. He wasn't feeding them. I mean, He did feed them, but this wasn't about them. He was teaching the multitude. He was feeding the multitude. He was having compassion on the multitude. He wasn't sitting down and teaching them things. He wasn't helping them grow. He wasn't helping them with their leadership. He wasn't giving something that was specifically for the apostles. He wasn't giving them instructions. He was feeding the multitude, and He was teaching the multitude. And you know what they were doing? They were focused on themselves. And God is doing miraculous things. He's just not doing anything for me. I mean, He took our loaves and He's giving them to them. Just because God is not healing you does not mean He's not healing. Just because God is not giving you the answer to your prayer does not mean that He is not answering prayer. You see, if it's not for us, or it's not about us, then we tend to downplay the significance of the miracle. I'm not the center of the world. You're not the center of the world. Wesatch Baptist Church is not the center of the world. There's thousands of churches, millions of churches around the world that they have a shepherd that's given up, and He's giving them the Word of God, and they're receiving it, and then lives are being changed. It doesn't always have to be about you. Verse 34, He had compassion on them. They were the sheep. Who else is going to teach Him? And look how He looked at them in verse 34. He was moved with compassion toward them. You know why they didn't see the miracles? They didn't see the people how God saw. They weren't moved with compassion. They were annoyed. They were impatient. They were busy. Send them away. God, haven't You done enough for them already? Now it's about Me. Take care of us. Take care of Me. And we will miss it if we look primarily to ourselves and what God is doing for us. If you want to see the miracle, you have to stop focusing on yourself and focusing on what He's doing for others. Look at verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, because their heart was hardened. What are you considering today? Or is your heart hardened? Are you in a storm? You have troubles going on in your life? I'm not saying that the reason is your heart is hardened, but it could be. I'm saying it could be. So why don't you say, Lord, are you trying to soften my heart and help me see you and wonder at you? Look at verse 51. It says, and when he went up unto them into the ship, the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. You know what God wanted? He wanted 51, but he wanted 51 at 44 instead of at 50. You understand? He wanted the wonder, and he wanted the amazement at 44 when the 5,000 people ate those loaves. He wanted that. But he didn't get it till after the storm. But he wanted it then. So he sends them away in the ship and he goes up to pray. And you know what I think he was praying? Lord, can you soften their heart so they can see? Lord, help them to receive the message I'm trying to give them. You know, we get in a storm and we look at God like He's trying to terrify us. And we cry out and we say, God, what are you doing? And He said, I just put you in the storm so you'd look at me. I just put you in the storm so you would consider me. And I do have a message for you. It's be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why? I'm the Lord. I'm the miracle worker. I'm your Savior. And I'm here for you. So tonight, let's consider the miracle of the loaves and what God is doing in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Can I have the piano player come forward? Lord, I pray, Father, God, that you will take this simple truth that you've given me, Lord, and you've given us through your word. And God, help us to recognize when our hearts are hardened. And help us, Father, to soften them, Lord, and consider all the wonderful things that you're doing around us, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, that you work in people's lives tonight. God, you touch their hearts. And they just spend a few moments just thanking you and praising you for what you've done in their life, Father. God, please work on our spirit. Help us to still our spirit. And help us to look at you with wonder and amazement beyond measure at what you've done, Father. God, please minister to every heart. Help every heart that's in a storm. I pray that that storm would do many things, but one, I pray it would soften their hearts. Soften our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name.